Well, is it still morning or is it officially afternoon? A good afternoon, friends. It's great to have you all with us, and thank you for coming and making that time change with us because of the weather that was coming. And so thankful that you all can be here this afternoon. And a welcome to all of you who are joining us either by live stream or you're watching this evening. And maybe the snow's falling, maybe it's not, we don't know. But we took the path that was most clear for us in this time to be able to come and do our Ash Wednesday service here this afternoon. And thankful that you are all here with us. How many of you have been to an Ash Wednesday service before? Yeah, so most of us, it's one of those, Ash Wednesday is a very solemn experience and one that is truly devoid of hope. And that shouldn't be, especially knowing that the Ash Wednesday service begins our journey of Lent that ends with the resurrection, which is our greatest hope and our greatest gift from God. Amen? But it does start here. It starts on Ash Wednesday, and the purpose of Ash Wednesday comes from the Old Testament theme of when the people of God were wanting to come before the Lord in repentance. They did so in sackcloth and in ashes. Sackcloth meaning that this was the absolute worst thing that you could wear, so you were not showing any of your grandeur as a human being by wearing sackcloth. And ashes being the reminder that everything that we have done as human beings eventually turns to ash. And so you sit before God and say, I am nothing and I sit in nothing, but you are everything, so I am repenting to you. And it's that reminder that the whole purpose of this journey of Lent is that we need to be reminded as human beings of our depravity, of the fact that we are broken and without Christ we are nothing. And so this has been a wonderful rhythm in the life cycle of the church to remind us of that time, to be able to spend these 40 days that will include 6 Sundays heading all the way up into Easter that remind us of the purpose of why Christ came to this earth, why Christ did what he did for us in his life, death, and resurrection, and the hope that we now have. And the purpose of Lent is so that when we get to the end of Lent, we find ourselves just a little bit closer to the Savior every year, just a little bit closer and a little bit closer, a little deeper understanding of the work that Christ did. But it begins here now. And one of the things I said at the beginning was that Ash Wednesday should never be anything that is dull and drab and with devoid of hope. It should be the opposite. And so I wanted to share with you a blessing of Ash Wednesday. But it's more appropriate that we hear this at the beginning of the service so that it sets the tone of all that we are about to do in this short service today. And it comes from Jan Richardson's book, From the Circle of Grace. She says, all those days that you felt like dust, like dirt, as if all you had to do was turn your face towards the wind and be scattered to the four corners or swept away by the smallest breath as insubstantial. But did you not know what the Holy One can do with dust? This is the day we freely say we are scorched. This is the hour we are marked by what has made it through the burning. This is the moment we ask for the blessing that lives within those ancient ashes, that makes its home inside the soil of this sacred earth. So on this day, let us be marked not by sorrow, and let us be marked not by shame. Let us be marked not for false humility or for thinking that we are less than we are, but instead for claiming what God can do within the dust, within the dirt, within the stuff of which this world is made, and the stars that blaze in our bones and the galaxies that spiral inside the smudge that we will bear. Friends, with that blessing of Ash Wednesday, will you please stand as you're able and join me in our call to worship? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, and gather the people. Return to the Lord your God, for God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Our opening hymn will be found in the green hymnal, number 468, Be Thou My Vision. You may be seated. And a thank you for those who were able to come and join us and fill in and shorten notice for being able to help make the service happen. And I know John Wallace wanted to be here to help with the service. And I know you're watching, my friend, this evening, and we'll get you in for another one of these services. Looking forward to it, my friend. Well, friends, we now find ourselves before the cross in this journey that we take. We have a time of confession, we'll have a silent time of reflection and assurance of pardon, but no passing of the peace. And the reason for that on Ash Wednesday is because we're supposed to skip the passing of the peace as a reminder of the peace that is to come when we find ourselves on the road with Christ on this Lenten journey. So friends, will you please join me as we say together our confession. Holy and merciful God, we confess to you and to one another that we have sinned by our own fault in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved ourselves as ourselves. We have not forgiven others as we have been forgiven. Have mercy on us, O God. Now, O Lord, please hear these, our silent prayers, confession that we lend to you now. While we do not share the peace on Ash Wednesday, we never walk away from the cross without an assurance of pardon. That is the Reformed way. Hear now these words of our assurance of pardon from Psalm 51. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me, or restore to me the joy of your salvation. And grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. And now we come with open hearts, ready to hear God's word for us. And we do so in hearing first from Job. And Job is one of these ancient books that we rarely hear from, but a message that is truly humbling. And we now look at Job 42 in the first six verses. And I want you to close your eyes. That's why the scripture is not on the screen. I want you to close your eyes and listen as Job responds at the end of his book to all that God has said and done to him. And these are the words that come from his heart, the last words that Job utters. Then Job replied to the Lord, "I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, 'Who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge?' Surely I spoke of things I did not understand and things too wonderful for me to know. You said, 'Listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me.' My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Oops. This passage that comes from Job comes at the end of an amazing and difficult journey for him. Job, who is a biblical figure whom scholars believe lived sometime between the flood, the great flood, and the time of Moses. Where exactly, we're not sure. But we do know that this was a man of amazing faith in God and whose story was preserved in scriptures by the Holy Spirit. This is a man of amazing faith, so amazing, in fact, that Satan came to God to specifically ask for permission to test Job and try to break that faith. What transpired after significant loss, hardship, and health issues was an amazing journey of doubt. Yes, an amazing journey of doubt. That was a good thing, because it spurred theological debate and a revelatory word spoken directly from God. And in the end, Job's faith was upheld, and God blesses Job in double measure as a testament of Job's faith. But the reason that the book of Job is one of my favorites is because of what Job does in the midst of his struggle to understand the suffering that he was going through. As his friends were gathering around and theologizing with him and trying to get him to understand the situation, Job just called out directly to God, seeking God in that journey. And as God answers, Job then gives these words of amazement of God's majesty. But as Job finds himself in the presence of the Almighty, he cannot help but acknowledge his own unworthiness. And in turn, God shows the humbleness of Job's repentant heart through the cultural practice of sitting in dust and applying ashes to himself as Job sat before the Lord. Ash Wednesday is the start of Lent. And as we said at the beginning, it's the beginning of the journey of the cross. So when we think ahead, we know where and what this journey will go. We know what is going to be entailed for Christ. We know the painful and undeserved turn to the cross our Savior will take on Good Friday. And we even know in our hearts the glimmer of hope that comes in the story and sunrise of Easter. So we know how Lent's going to end. That's why Ash Wednesday is so important, because Lent is also about our desire to journey with Christ. But why do we start the Lenten journey with our Lord with a moment of repentance and a sign of ashes? Repent is a word that we don't often use in the Presbyterian Church. The Greek word for repent is metanoia. It literally means to turn around. It means to turn and face. Job stopped what he was doing and he turned and he faced God. In Lent, we are supposed to stop and do the same thing. We're supposed to quiet our lives, maybe quiet distractions that we have going on, and we are to turn and face the cross to give Christ our full and undivided attention and say, Lord, what would you want of me? And it is impossible to stand and face Christ and not recognize our own unworthiness, just as Job did. Our need for a Savior. So then, like Job, taking time to turn and face the Savior should bring us to a point of repentance. And the church has continued to show that physical sign of repentance as they did in the Old Testament with the wearing of ashes. But with that action and the sign of repentance that comes an invitation to a journey with Christ, a journey in which we are invited to walk alongside as a reminder of the forgiveness that we have been given. As people see the sign of the ashes of the cross and they ask, what is that about on this Ash Wednesday? It is meant to also serve as an invitation. Come and journey with me and with us on this journey that will take us to the road of Jerusalem, to Palm Sunday, to Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Resurrection Sunday on Easter. But for all humanity, it is a journey that we take with God, knowing that God is on this side of heaven, and for us to be able to join requires first our repentance. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In a moment, we're going to come forward for the imposition of ashes. And as we do so, I'll give you an option. If you would prefer to just go ahead and have it on your forehead, you can go ahead and lean forward, or if you need to, you can pull your hair up, and we'll do the ashes as a cross on your forehead. For some people, it's uncomfortable to have that, or you know, the ash dripping down might cause them to sneeze, or they may be allergic. And if that's the case, then when you walk up, just go ahead and give me your wrist or your palm of your hand up, and we'll go ahead and do the cross on your hand instead. So that becomes another option. Along with that, Nancy is going to have, as one of our deacons, she's going to have the cross nails. And if you've been a part of HPC for any number of years, you know that this is a wonderful gift. It is a little reminder that you get to hold on, keep in your pockets, keep on you between now and Easter. We are reminded of this Lenten journey that we are on and the work that Christ does for us. It becomes that reminder every time we see it, we feel it, to take a moment in prayer. And that's part of a Lenten discipline, is to spend more time in prayer with the Lord. God, what are you doing in my life? God, what are you doing in the community? What are you doing in the world? And where is my place? How can I draw one step closer to you? Friends in Christ, each year at this time, we celebrate our redemption through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lent is that time to prepare for the celebration and to renew our life in the Paschal mystery. So we begin this holy season by acknowledging our need for repentance and for the mercy and forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we begin this sacred journey of Easter with the sign of ashes. The sign, ancient sign, speaks of the frailty and the uncertainty of human life, and it marks our penance as a community. When as we come forward, we will have quiet music that's being played as we come, and after everybody has received the sign of the cross, then we will sing. We'll sing together, and we pray that that will be a song of praise to the Lord in the midst of our repentance. So as we prepare to receive ashes this Lord's Day, let us come before the throne of God in prayer. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. May these ashes be for us a sign of mortality and penitence, as a reminder that it is only by your gracious gift that we are given everlasting life. through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Come as you are ready. For those of you who were joining us online, I know that we don't get the chance to do the imposition of ashes for you, but we do have these nails, and so next time you are here in worship with us during Lent, we will have these available for you, and you can feel free to grab one and take it with you for your Lenten journey when you come and gather with us again. Well, friends, I have this blessing in charge. That's unique for Ash Wednesday, not the normal one that we're used to hearing. And that is, I give you this word in charge from 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May the God of peace make you holy in every way and keep your whole being, spirit, soul, and body, free from every fault at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may these humble marks serve as a witness to the world that we bring love and peace because of Christ in us. Friends, go in peace.